Words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, as a 69-year-old preacher, I don't preach from iPhones and I don't wear skinny jeans. That seems to be the sign of the anointing in our day. But I am going to do some stuff from my iPhone today because I couldn't memorize all this, and I didn't want to. I guess I could have. I just was too lazy to do that. Let me fix this so it won't turn off in the middle of me talking. That's why I don't preach from iPhones. Okay. I've been teaching from different expressions of the scriptures about the incarnation, about the Advent words. But in my time with the Lord this morning, I just was so blessed again by the Lord speaking some things, reminding me of some things about who we are as new creations. And so, really, in some ways, every season is the season that you're in. Advent never stops. We're always looking for Christ. When I get along with Him, I'm looking for Him. I'm looking for Him to manifest, to reveal. And so Advent, this season of looking, this season of expecting, every Christian should live on their tiptoes at all times, in every situation and in every circumstance, looking to see the Christ who's in control, who's big enough, who's going to speak, you're going to encounter. And so there's just some things, and we certainly don't have time to explain all this, but there's just some cool stuff that I want you to see about being a new creation. There's a verse we've quoted a lot over the years, 2 Corinthians 5:21. So hear it again as if for the first time. For He, the Father, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That's really interesting. It didn't say that we might be made righteousness as a position before the Lord. It says that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So the first thing, and this is where the renewing of our mind has to happen, and a lot of it is because we have to renew our mind from things the church has taught us, because they've said things to us over and over again that aren't right. I grew up, as I was learning to walk with the Lord, I fully surrendered my life to the Lord when I was 23. I prayed the Baptist Bar Mitzvah prayer when I was 12 and asked Christ to come into my heart, and I'm sure He did. But I was basically told that, you know, we're worms and that we, our hearts are desperately wicked and God just has to overcome that all the time. The truth is that your new nature is the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what He says. You became the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, that's a mind blower to me. And because your new nature is the righteousness of God in Christ, because it says in Ephesians 2:10 that we were created in Christ Jesus. So if you understand what happened at the cross, is that we were called the old self or the old man before we became Christians. Now we're called the new self. And that new self was created in Christ Jesus, was created through bringing us into union with Jesus. Christ in me, like Bracken read, me and Christ in me, this mutual indwelling. And so Christ is all mixed up in this new heart. People like to quote that place about our hearts are deceitfully wicked, but it makes it really clear in the new covenant that God gave us new hearts. So as a new creation, at the core of who you are, your heart, your spiritual heart, is one with Christ. You were created in Christ Jesus. And that's amazing to me. It's as if you had a big piece of clay called Christ. And then you took your piece of clay, your heart, and then just mixed it all up in that piece of clay, and God formed your new self. And so who you are at your heart level is all mixed up into who Jesus is. Okay? That's why it says in John 16, we've said this before, but you know, the Holy Spirit, it never says in the Bible that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. And you go, well, yeah, it does in John 16. I'll go back and read that. It says He convicts the world of sin. Now, do we get convicted when we sin? Yes. But the Holy Spirit's role primarily is to convict us of righteousness. That even when we're struggling, He tries to convince us, you're the righteousness of God in Christ, and therefore you live from His righteousness. One way to define righteousness would be fully functional. So from the core of my being is fully functional from God's perspective. There's this rightness with God that Christ is, I am because of Christ. And the Holy Spirit transforms us, not by telling us how horrible we are. There is no condemnation for those in Christ. He doesn't change people that way. Nobody changes that way. When that happens to us in churches and preachers and pastors and people on the internet condemn us all the time and tell us how horrible we are, that doesn't change us. It just makes us try harder, which is exactly what God doesn't want us to do. We don't perform for Him. He performs through us. And any kind of teaching that makes you feel guilty that you'll promise God that you'll try harder is from the enemy. Because all it's going to do is put you more under performance-based Christianity. But when the Holy Spirit convicts you of righteousness, when the prodigal son was at his worst moment, eating the food that pigs were eating, it says that he came to his senses. But the Greek word there is actually he came to himself and remembered where home was. And when he went home, the father was looking for him and had been looking for him to come to himself. If you've got a Christian in your life that you know that's really struggling, not walking with the Lord, instead of condemning them, start looking for them to come to themselves. Pray they'll come to themselves. And when the prodigal son came home, the father ran to him, the language is, and he threw himself on his neck and kissed him on the neck over and over again, but never mentioned to him what he did wrong. The very fact that he had come home was proof that he knew he had gotten it wrong. What did the father do? The father threw him a party. And the self-righteous brother, who thought his performance was earning his blessing, didn't get it. But you know, when the prodigal son left, he said that he was given his share of the inheritance. So he came home just offering himself to be a servant because there was nothing left for him. And what he didn't realize is that everything the father had was his. There was no portion. He was a co-heir. That's good news, isn't it? The most prodigal person in that story was the righteous, self-righteous brother. Because he didn't know and realize that everything that he has was the father had was his because of the father's grace and love for him. It says in Romans, let me read the scripture. Actually, this is going to take 2 days to do this. But I'm not going to keep you for 2 straight days, I promise. At some point, you'll start hissing and booing. Listen to what Romans 6:17 says. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart. That form of teaching to which you are committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Here's the deal. The real you wants to obey God. You don't have to be whipped into that through some sermons. The real you, the one that's co-mingled with Christ, the new heart. Did you know that it says in Hebrews, we'll do this tomorrow actually, but it says in Hebrews that new you, the heart, is perfect? I didn't say your performance was perfect. Can we still sin? Yes. But the core of who you are, the true you, is mingled with Jesus. He said it's been made perfect because of his perfect performance on the cross. And you're a slave to righteousness. The real you, the new you, wants to obey God. I understand that when we fail people and we disappoint people, people want to tell us because it does something for them. They want to get it off their chest. And there are places where you have a conversation and it says, you do understand that the consequences that what you're doing is hurting you, it's hurting others, but I'm so disappointed for you. Not so much in you. I'm disappointed for you because you're a new creation in Christ. You're called to live life and life more abundant in Jesus. To reign in life of the one Christ Jesus. And you're being deceived. And you're not being yourself at all. And you're missing out. And you're living on the food of the pigs when you could be experiencing everything the Father has for you. That's the conversation. We lure them with the truth, not pound them because of their failure. So a couple of things, again, about who you are. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Your new nature is righteousness of God. That's pretty good. You say, well, I'm trying to be more righteous. Well, why would you do that when you're the righteousness of God in Christ already? Why don't you live from that instead of trying to achieve that? You receive that part because of what Christ has done. We live from his righteousness. The righteousness of God is going to be much better and bigger than any kind of righteousness you try to achieve. And because of that, you really want to obey God. And if you think that you're being changed because you blew it, because God really got on you and pounded you, then that's not the Lord. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. God knows who you are in Christ, and he wants your eyes to be open to see that, and he calls you forth to experience that. That's wonder. That's wonderful. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.